The next item, or item number two on our agenda, stems from action the council took last week. You may know that they took action to authorize an expansion of the types of reimbursements or that courts could seek, the types of cases they could seek reimbursement on for court interpreters to now include domestic violence cases, family law cases that have domestic violence issues, and elder or dependent abuse cases, as well as indigent parties in civil cases. The council also directed this committee to develop a formula to identify the maximum amount each court would be eligible to receive in reimbursement. And we have Donna Hershkowitz, Director, AOC Court Operations Special Services Office, with us today to explain that a little further.
Thank you very much, Judge Harrell. You did a great job, actually, laying out the recommendations. I had the pleasure of coming before some of you, actually, last week, the Funding Methodology Subcommittee, I believe, and do a preview of what the recommendations to the council were going to be. And the council did, in fact, adopt all of the recommendations in the report that I had presented to that group. excuse me. So what the council did was a couple of things. One, as you all know, there's been $1.73 million for domestic violence and domestic violence-related cases for providing interpreters. At the recommendation of the Budget Advisory Committee, that funding was moved back in August, I believe, from the IMF to the Trial Court Trust Fund Program 4545. What the council action did was eliminate that cap of $1.73 million so courts could claim seek reimbursement for all of the expenses related to those cases. The second big thing that the council did was expand the availability of seeking reimbursement for interpreter services for civil cases in which the parties are indigent. The council then took some made some recommendations that were more ministerial in action, requiring the Fiscal Services Office to provide notification to the courts, letting them know about these actions. Zlotko, can you tell me what's the status of that? Did that notification go out, or is it ready to go out?
It went out 8 minutes ago.
Okay, fabulous. So notification went out to all of the PJs and the court executives, telling them about the council action, letting them know that you can begin seeking reimbursement for these. And we made it clear in the presentation to the council last week that this wasn't just for provision of services as of the date of the council meeting, but in fact applied back through all of 13-14. We wanted to make crystal clear to the council that that was what the recommendation was, because the report was sort of silent on that. The Civil and Small Claims Advisory Committee is going to be adopting a form, which is really just a tool for courts to use to help them. The form would have parties indicate that they are indigent and have a fee waiver order or are applying for a fee waiver, that they need an interpreter in this particular language, and this is their particular case type. It's really a tool for courts to help them maybe do some, find some efficiencies in scheduling and calendaring these cases now that you have the opportunity, not mandate, but the opportunity to provide the interpreters in this greater number of cases. For your purposes, we have $12.9 million currently in the surplus, as you know. That is the money that's going to fund the this expansion of the interpreter services. Courts, especially the larger courts, I think, are understandably reluctant to start providing these services until they have a sense of how much money may be available to them. Because if they hire up and they start providing these services and then get told, I'm sorry, the $12.9 million is gone, you have to fund this out of your own operating budget, your response will be, what operating budet? So the direction to this committee was to come up with an allocation methodology so courts will understand how much is available to them. Now, courts can start providing those interpreter services right now if they feel comfortable doing it. They do not have to wait for you to come up with that methodology. I think the vast majority will want to wait, but that is entirely their call on whether they feel comfortable starting to provide those services. The allocation methodology that you are to come up with, as directed by the council, would be for the remainder of this year, so how much of that surplus can be spent through the remainder of this year, and then for all of next year, because the expectation, the direction in the council report is that the surplus be exhausted by the end of 14-15.
And that this go to the council in April.
Yes. I left that out, didn't I? Yes, April.
Yes.
Because we're coming so close to the end of the fiscal year, the council isn't meeting after April until June. And at that point, if the courts have been holding back spending this money, we wanted to give them the greatest opportunity to start providing these services and expanding access to interpreters.
Any questions for Donna on the council's actions?
I have a question. Has some ASC staff determined what type of formula they're going to use for these reimbursements so that courts can have some idea how this might be implemented?
I'm sorry, what kind of formula? I'm not following the question.
You're saying that we'll be able to ask the AOC for reimbursement on these interpreter costs, but none of us know right now to what extent they'll be reimbursable. So I'm asking if the AOC staff has put together a formula or some policy so that we have some idea how the individual court seeking reimbursement might anticipate receiving those funds down the line.
That's what this group is being tasked to do, to come up with that. I don't know. I'm sure the Fiscal Services Office folks have started thinking it through, but they want to do it at the direction of this group.
That's the purpose of this coming to our agenda today. We need to put together a small group to begin working on this. Zlatko and I have already had conversations about that. We have reached out to Judge Steve Austin, who is chair of the Ad Hoc Joint Working Group, and he's agreed to assist us in those efforts. So we're going to put together a small group to lead those efforts. Judge Chateau.
Yeah, I may have missed it, but is there a projection now, or will there be a projection as to the funding for future years and how far out we can count on this?
So right now we have an annual $92 million appropriation for the court interpreter expenses.
Yeah.
The estimate, the assumption based on the recent labor agreements for Regions 2 and Region 3, and the assumption of the costs for eliminating the cap for the domestic violence is that full $92 million is going to be pretty close to being used up on an annual basis. So we anticipate that we're not going to be creating an additional surplus or not a significant surplus starting in the next year or so. And so what we have is the surplus that's sitting there in the bank, the $12.9 million. What the council will need to do is take further action at some point to seek additional funding for this, because the council certainly understands that you all don't want to be in the position of offering these services and getting the folks in your community understanding that these services are available and then turning around and saying, I'm sorry, as of the end of 14-15, we no longer have any money and we can't do this anymore.
But may I just follow up? But if the money isn't there in future years, we do have the ability to pull back the services, at least as far as the Judicial Council is concerned.
Yeah, and so at this point, what the council what the Ad Hoc Working Group was very careful in doing when we structured the recommendations to the council was to make sure that they weren't worded in a way that says each court shall provide the following services. They do not say that. What the recommendations say that the council adopted is providing the ability for courts who provide these services to get the reimbursement for them. Obviously, as you all know, there's been an ongoing investigation by the Department of Justice. Department of Justice has the view that we are obligated to provide interpreters in all cases to all individuals who have language needs, and we are continuing to work with them. We're working very collaboratively with the Department of Justice. They certainly understand that there are resource needs, and we can't, and that's dollars, and that's the actual bodies of interpreters, and that we can't turn around tomorrow and suddenly say, here we are, and we can provide interpreters to every individual. They most certainly understand that and are working with us to move in the right direction to get us to that point eventually, but understand that we don't have the funding for that now.
David Yamasaki.
Thank you, Judge Earl. Some of you, the court execs around the room, might recall a survey that was circulated earlier, actually late last fiscal year, and the effort was to try to get an idea of the number of interpreters that might be needed, and Kitty Torrey is the one that spearheaded that effort. It's not a precise data record. However, it gives us kind of a starting point of trying to understand what the volume of interpreters might be needed in different areas beyond the mandated areas. So I would be willing to share that information to the group that's assembled for the review of, you know, what the precise formula might land on eventually. So we have that information available.
Thank you. If you could share that with me as well.
Pardon me?
If you could share that with me as well.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Mike, did you have your hand up?
Yes. I guess this is this will be part of the discussion about the formula. And as much as I, appreciate the concept and the the ability to provide interpreters in those cases, the problem I see with just knowing whether there's 1 year certain of funding are a lot of these cases go over fiscal years, and it's problematic enough for in the courts to be managing. Cases with these with English as a second language litigants, but if you start the case off and you have the funding, go to the next year, you don't have the funding, the case continues, we still have that need, and we've kind of created an expectation. But so I just kind of point that out as one of the, kind of the logistical issues I see with just knowing that we have 1 year of funding and out years funding is uncertain, the building of the expectation.
Sean? The other issue, to dovetail on what Mike said, that I see, and I think Donna alluded to this, is the shared resources of interpreters to make promises, and I think it's a worthy effort, but to make promises, yet we cannot fill staffing interpreters for these kinds of cases is probably a real concern that we want to address and look at. Whether it's a certification process or how to get more bodies of interpreters interpreting these cases, if this is where we're going with it. I just want to point that out.
Absolutely. Jake?
Just one last point to add on, that when we look forward, not for the 14-15 year, because there's the expectation of using that surplus, but when that surplus is gone and we're looking at civil cases, just acknowledging that with our new fund balance rules for the courts as well, that places us in a very difficult position, that it could be coming towards the end of the year to the extent there's no new funds in that interpreter fund. We're left in the court level of having to suddenly make determinations in May or June where there's not reimbursement for those funds. We don't have the ability any longer to address those needs through a fund balance situation. So just keeping that also in mind is another element of this scenario about what does it look like in 15-16, and that worthy cause, we want to move forward with it, but how is that funding going to work out once we reach that year?
Yeah, I think the council is certainly aware of all of those concerns, and will be taking that into account in figuring out its priorities for seeking funding for the coming years. John.
And this is at the macro level, where we're still looking at potentially closing courthouses, closing courtrooms because of the lack and the slowness of restoration of funding overall as a branch, and yet we're looking at expanding service here in this area and encouraging a consciousness of an aligned message and a balance with our decision-making in this area and going forward so we don't create an unreasonable expectation. I think others have said that, just at the macro level, the importance of the balance overall branch message.
Yeah, and one thing, I mean, the council acted a number of years ago to say that the all of the surplus that was accumulated from Program 4545 would remain for interpreter services. And because we haven't figured out how to use this surplus, it's just been growing over the years. And having this money available that is earmarked for interpreter services and we're not using it when we know there's such a need is certainly something that the council had to take into consideration.
Lori, this is Judge Boris.
Yes.
I am in total agreement with everybody, but I'm also greatly concerned about the availability of interpreters. It's taken our county about 15 years to actually have, you know, the state-certified Vietnamese interpreters. And by expanding the program, we're going to go back to the old days where we're trying to use kind of ad hoc people who were approving on a monthly basis with respect to their qualifications to be interpreters. So I would just urge that that be taken under consideration by the council as part of this plan. I think it's a great idea. I think we have to do it to serve the public. But I think the two things that hurt us are the availability of funds and the availability of interpreters.
And so one thing that's going on concurrently, as many of you know, we have a joint working group on California's Language Access Plan, chaired by Justice Maria Rivera from the First District and Judge Manuel Covarrubias from Ventura. They are putting together a language access plan for the judicial branch. That will be presented to the council. The final plan presented to the council is slated for December. That plan will look at things like what are some of the efficiencies that can be taken into account, that can be used to deal with the limited numbers of resources, interpreter resources that we have. That's absolutely something that they're considering. They're taking a look at the technology that's available and seeing if there are ways, if there are appropriate ways to incorporate video remote interpreting. So you can use the interpreter resource in Merced for the case in Orange County, or vice versa, and other kinds of technology or other types of efficiencies that could be built in to be able to utilize the existing pool of resources better.
Sherry.
I also just want to say I have a lot of grave concerns about the plan, but the one thing that perhaps we can help is I see that the Civil and Small Claims Advisory Committee is being asked to develop a form. Please don't make it mandatory. If these are not going to be, if there's no uniformity in how we're expanding the program, don't make us go through creating and printing and using another mandatory form. If we're each going to be doing our own things, I don't even think a one statewide form is helpful. But at a minimum, don't make it mandatory. It's very expensive.
Mary Beth.
I would just say I appreciate all the comments. Everybody's brought up all of the foreseeable issues that may come up. And since there is a finite period to spend this surplus, what I'm hearing is we need to be flexible with whatever methodology we come up with, because I think if we just parcel out the pie, we are going to have some courts who just aren't going to be able to get the interpreters, so they're not going to be able to spend the money. We're going to have other courts who are going to overspend. So I would just say, I think you mentioned perhaps forming a working group to work on this issue, and I don't know if it's appropriate. Do you want a motion to do that, or are we just going to do that? But those are the kinds of things I think that will be very helpful to that working group to take into consideration as we come up with the methodology.
We don't need a motion. This is just informational to let you know that we need to put together a small working group to work on this. Judge Good has agreed to take the lead on this along with Judge Austin, and if anyone here is interested in serving on that small working group, if you could just let me know, I'd appreciate it, but we hope to get that coordinated within the next week. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.